everyone, and welcome to Linux for the Rest of Us, episode 196. This is a show about all things Linux, whether it's hardware, software, whatever happens to tickle our Linux fancy. I am Cody Cooper, aka Supercoop, and I am here once again, my good friend, the Linux maven, the door-to-door geek, aka Stephen McLaughlin. How's it going, Door?
Hey, Coop. I'll say Super Tuesday came and went, but Super Coop is here now.
Here to stay.
Here to stay. How you doing, man?
Day one of a six-day vacation, and I'm loving every second of it. I think I've had more sleep in the past 24 hours than I have in probably the last week, which is great.
Gotcha.
Finally getting caught up on some tech products. I want to throw a shout-out to Steve Sears, a listener and a good friend of ours. He gave me, on loan, a OnePlus One, the original OnePlus One, because that Ubuntu phone image is now available to be flashed on that. I'll be doing that this week, and hopefully have that for the next show, if not the one after, as a micro review to go over, because the last time I tried that on a device, it was the Nexus 4 that we gave away on the show. So to have a much higher powered device with a legit version for that's utilizing the hardware in the way it was meant to be utilized, I think it'll be really fun.
Very cool.
How about yourself?
Just trying not to go crazy, trying to stay sane. Moderate luck.
You know what helps you to stay sane, Door?
Clear liquor? I don't know. Keep my brain clear?
Yes. Also, being able to vent and commiserate in the company of friends and loved ones, which is why I think I'm safe to announce that Door and I, along with some other PodNutsians, will once again this year be at Linux Fest Northwest in Bellingham, Washington, April 23rd and 24th, if memory serves.
Sounds right.
Yeah. It's going to be a good time. If you guys are anywhere near the vicinity, please head out. And for those of you there last year, you know what kind of fun we had, what kind of shenanigans we got into, and just overall, what a fun gathering it is. They do a great job, put on a great weekend full of really, really good tech stuff, good talks, good people, good times, and we're happy to be coming back this year. So put that on your calendar. It'll probably be about a month away just from the time that we post this show, tonight or tomorrow, and yeah, the clock's ticking. I can't wait.
Yeah, very good times, very good people. I will say the general area had some of the nicest people, period. I think I've been to a conference yet. Everybody easygoing. The event itself was actually at a school, which I actually liked because it meant it was at least a little bit spread out. It isn't everybody clumped in just one area, so I definitely thought that was good.
Yeah, having the multiple floors was interesting. And then, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, it meant once in a while you had to walk either up or down a flight of stairs.
I just always waited for the elevator. I look at stairs and I think, analog technology, garbage. Yeah, very cool. All right, well, hey, we got, since our last time we spoke, we've gathered some topics, some things to talk about. Let's just dive right into them, now that we know that we're healthy and sane and looking forward to seeing each other in person again.
Right. Well, first, as always, and as far as I could tell, we are always going to have Think Penguin Cube Pods open and available to anyone who wants to purchase from a company that has your interest in mind, that has your privacy in mind, that has your personal protection in mind. So you can go to thinkpenguin.com, peruse their stock, and if there's something that you like, ping me. I can send you a coupon code. And in combination, the very first link to the show, the FSF certified a new router available from Penguin. It's the TPR1100. It's a very small pocket router or a travel router that is running FSF approved, quote unquote, software. So it's very free, very open, open to hacking, and you can have yourself a lot of fun. And it is a wireless N router. I believe I have seen this exact same form factor before. It's powered by micro USB, single WAN in, single LAN out, USB reset button, and then it has a 0-1 switch. I believe the 0-1 switch lets it change from access point to wireless adapter, and right now you can get it for as low as $40 from a Think Penguin.
See, it's little things like this that I just a door, because you look at this tiny little box, like what could possibly be in there? What does that little machine do? And if you start thinking about the restrictions that are going to be put on router manufacturers and, you know, locking out software in the next, 3 months, just over 2 months, stuff like this is going to be essential for those who really do want to install, you know, custom firmware and keep their data truly secure. And the fact that it can't go between AP and a regular router is very cool. And yeah, that price point, I mean, it's a no-brainer.
Right, right. There's actually now a couple links. I know at least two or three links I wanted to bunch up into one topic here. Give me 1 second, Cody. We've seen some more definite, changes. I'm going to quote a British clip I saw the other day, which is, and I'm going to replace the word Microsoft and Linux in the saying. And the saying basically was something like, of course Microsoft is going to get behind Linux. How else is it supposed to be able to stab it in its back? The more time that goes on, the more I believe that is becoming a very applicable term. Here's the first one. Microsoft has created a Switch OS on Debian. Repeat. Microsoft has created a customized Debian operating system that's meant to run on hardware switches.
I heard you.
I do believe we heard about this actually a couple months ago, but the rumor mill was Microsoft was not going to let it out. They were just going to run it on Azure, which means they did not have to release the code. But it looks like they actually might be releasing this code here in the near future. When I first saw this, that they were actually thinking about releasing it, I literally thought to myself, I'm not sure I want to work in corporate IT anymore or in government IT anymore. Because the only thing I'm assured of is if you can have a Linux operating system that will be flaky, that will fall apart, that will require constant maintenance, if it will have in it time bombs to where there's no way it can possibly run for more than 30 days straight or 2 years straight kind of thing, it would be something that Microsoft puts out, and I will not want anything to do with that operating system. Not to mention the fact that I basically just do not trust them, and I really do think it's nothing more than in preparation for them to stab Linux in the back.
Yeah, it's interesting to see their open embrace and listen to them say, oh, but we love Linux. Of course you do, because it's not costing you anything to implement, really. I mean,
yeah.
Aside from, you know, their on-site work. But yeah, obviously, you know, it's that little buzzing off in the distance, but it could turn into a roar right in front of our face. But there's really nothing that we can do except for not use it and not support it if, in fact, it's as potentially malicious as everybody thinks it might be. And yeah, as far as their true motives, we'll just have to wait and see.
Well, yeah, because that's the whole thing. We really don't know. The second one, this one blew my lid. I had to read it. I actually read it a couple times. I was so confused. This one was from the Hacker News, and it said, the latest Windows 10 may have a Linux subsystem hidden inside of it, which just completely blew me away. It makes sense that if, and this is true, Linux, the number one contributor to the Linux kernel for 2 years was Microsoft.
Yeah.
That's just a given. Yep. So it would make sense if Microsoft would want their desktop operating system to talk to those servers that they helped modify in the most extremely efficient way. It would be to embed a Linux kernel somewhere inside the standard Microsoft OS. I have no idea if this is true or not. I just know it really confuses me to no end. It looks like it's mainly right now on Windows Mobile 10, but with convergence or whatever they're calling it, I believe if it is in the mobile, it will eventually be in the desktop operating system.
I wouldn't doubt that they call it a synergy.
I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, you and I could go on and on about this forever. We should create a little segment for the show that's almost like a like an infiltration watch or something and give these folks the latest Microsoft implementation and utilization of Linux just to see, just to keep everybody on their toes. Because, you know, what was that thing? I can't remember the phrase because it's been so long since I've seen the movie, but, you know, in Terminator 2, when they're talking about the machines, like one day they were doing this, the other day they were doing that, and then, you know, Judgment Day came. Could be close. Who knows?
Right.
All I'm saying is burn your ISOs onto some sort of media, because you might not be able to go online anymore. Get plenty of canned tuna and bags of rice, and we should be okay.
I like canned tuna.
Canned tuna is great. It's a great source of protein. It's cheap. You ever had canned... this is either going to spark interest in some people or it's going to disgust some people, but as a quick thing, when I used to work at a grocery store, I would get a pretty big box of steamed rice at the deli, at the Chinese deli, you know? Just plain steamed rice. I would get a couple cans of tuna, and I'd get another empty container, and I would squirt Frank's Red Hot sauce in there and just shake it up, and it made it spicy, you know, and it was a good snack for a few bucks. No Linux involved, though, with that. Actually, you know what? Linux could have been running the rice steamer. I can't say that.
You really can't. Nope. Right. And here is the third one. This one, when I first heard it, made no sense, and then, to be honest, after reading this article on the VAR guy, it actually did make sense. Microsoft also announced about 2 weeks before we recorded this that they are going to be releasing the next version of SQL Server for Linux installation, which I just totally could not comprehend at all, considering out of all the database servers I've used, and I've been doing database work now roughly for 20 years, and everything Postgres, Oracle, SQL Server, my SQL, even some SQLite, even a little bit of document-driven databases, but not as much as I want. Microsoft SQL Server is the most inefficient database by far. It basically performs illegal acts against the RAM of any computer that it's installed on. I mean, horrendously. It really does. It needs to be on its own dedicated box so it can get all the RAM off of that computer and not interfere with any other processes, or else it will. It will absolutely interfere with everything else. So again, if they're going to put this out, this is something I never want to have any actual involvement with, because there's no way it's going to run good. SQL Server does not run good. It runs horrible. And they're trying to bill it as the next Internet of Things, cloud-based big data solution. They're even implementing something called R support. R is the next generation programming language for big data sets. That's what its goal is to be. So they're actively implementing that in the next version of SQL Server. Now, this article is saying the main reason Microsoft is doing it is because they hate Oracle. Okay, now it makes a lot of sense. All they're trying to do is take away market share from Oracle and take away credit and credibility from Oracle. Now, I'll say, as a database guy, I despise Oracle, because it is a lot of upfront work to manage the actual database itself. But when it comes to performance-wise, it's basically second to none. My experience with Oracle is it can take a beating from all kinds of users with all kinds of heavy requests, and it just works with very little issues. Just my experience. But Microsoft trying to basically absorb the Linux rub is like the wrestling term I'm going to use. They're trying to get the rub from Linux, the love from Linux, and at the same time trying to take out some Oracle numbers. This is a... I'm really not trying to be overdramatic about this. This is nearly becoming a terrifying time for me working in a IT shop where we do software development, we do software distribution, we do software deployments, we do hardware setups, we manage hundreds of servers, hundreds and hundreds of servers, thousands of users, wide area networks. And the stuff that Microsoft is doing is not, I think, good in general. So this is really going to be a bad couple years coming up, in my opinion. It's going to be very hard to do a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, I have to default to you on this because I have no experience with it whatsoever. But it does definitely sound, I mean, much like what we were talking about earlier, you know, the landscape's shifting. You know, they're implementing, you know, these new items within their organization. It's going to fundamentally change the industry. Just like, It was an open source solution that came out. Not to say that they're going to provide this for free or anything, but it was an open source solution to some paid service that came out that just kind of effectively killed the other service. We'll definitely have to keep our eye on it.
Yeah, and there was an article I didn't get a chance to read that said something to the effect of Microsoft has done two really evil things in the last couple weeks, but no one seems to pay any mind to that because of all the love that they're showing to Microsoft. I did not get a chance to read that article, partially because I didn't want to get any more upset. But yeah, their bottom line is, I firmly believe, of course, they're getting behind Microsoft. I mean, of course, Microsoft is getting behind Linux. It's so it's easier for them to stab Linux in the back. Okay. I don't want to talk about Microsoft anymore. This is actually something really good. This next one's on The Verge, and it's titled Animation Studio Software Used by Studio Ghibli. Yeah.
Yep.
Is going open source, which probably doesn't mean a lot to a lot of people, but I will say, if you remember the show Futurama, from what I was reading, the software they used to create that cartoon is this software. So this really is world-class, professional-grade 2D animation studio going open source. Now, of course, saying going open source and going open source are typically two completely different things. I hope this is the kind of thing that takes less than a full year, and that's being nice. I hope it takes less than a full year for this thing to actually be available for download under proper GPL licenses. This will be a big gate down. I love the lack of friction we're seeing now, where anybody with a computer can create all types of contents, all different types of level of content, whether it be just something for your kid to laugh or something for your job to make you look good, or if it's something for an actual, to fulfill a contract with a sub company or something. This is just another example of software eventually becoming free that is really, truly world class. This was something I really did like to hear.
Yeah, I've always kind of had when I was going to school for multimedia production and design, I was thinking about making a web series at the time. Flash was really big. And as far as animation, affordable animation software, where at that point, you know, this is like over 10 years ago, that was really the only thing that I had at my disposal. And to think that this is now going open source, and the level of projects that this software has helped to create, and the fact that it's going to be open source and available to anybody, is a really big deal. Because especially when we talk about Linux, we've spoken about this before, you know, there's always those hurdles with people thinking about being a Linux user 10, 15 years ago. You know, you can't game on it, printer support's bad, the multimedia creation isn't that great. Well, you talk about, you know, audio editing and creation software, music software, you know, fantastic now. Obviously, plenty of video editors of varying degrees, some great, some worthy of taking out and burning in a trash fire.
Yeah.
But you talk about, you know, 2D animation software. To be honest, if there is a great solution out there already, I don't know about it. I'm honest because I haven't researched it, but to see this be announced, right, and the level of work it's put out, hopefully that this is the next step to help create that next generation of fantastic animators. Because at a certain point, I was just thinking about this today. I was reading an article about gaming piracy. And for those of you sick about me talking about gaming, whatever, I'm bringing this back around, trust me. But I was reading an article on Kotaku today about a man about my age finally who landed a good job, and he's going back and he found his old computer and found all the games he had pirated when he was a teenager, and then he went and he donated that the retail price of that money to each developer to sort of pay back. And I was thinking about, what was the last game I pirated? and I couldn't think of a whole game I pirated, but I remember way back in the day downloading software to crack a demo disc of Quake 2. Now, this is probably 20 years ago, if not damn close. So that was the closest I came to that. But then I started thinking about, well, what about any of the software that I had pirated, you know, during the heyday of Napster and Scour before that, and obviously, you know, Usenet and all that, torrents. And it was quite a bit. And a lot of it I was thinking about was the multimedia software that I used when I was in school. But now, with these open source alternatives that's 100% free, creating these, you know, files in the same file format that you would use in a school or a studio, this is that one of the last barriers to be knocked down, to where someone doesn't have to necessarily resort to piracy in order to create, which is something to be looked at as another step forward to providing the next generation with tools to create art.
Yeah, the one distribution I know that did 2D animation was called K-Toons, K-T-O-O-N-Z. Okay. And it looks like that's basically been forgotten about, and they stopped production on it. But that was the last one I know. And it wasn't perfect. It wasn't great, but it was something. Something is always better than nothing. But hopefully projects like that will start back up, because I do believe this is the kind of thing that can literally shoot some energy right into the whole realm of open source animation and hopefully help it pick back up.
Most definitely.
Okay, now this next one, we spent a couple minutes talking about Microsoft. Now, I'm going to talk just a little bit about Apple. Oy vey. Okay. This one was from Rutgers. Mac ransomware caught before a large number of computers infected. Okay. Ransomware, for the longtime Linux user that might not know, ransomware is software that literally installs itself on your computer, and then it typically encrypts a set of files or a subset of files, typically in your quote-unquote home folder or in your documents folder, and it also can search your entire hard drive for useful document types, documents, spreadsheets, pictures, things like that, and can even connect itself to network drives, mapped drives, and encrypt all of that. And then when it's done, it tells you, hello, your files are now gone unless you give us Bitcoin. And it's anywhere from $300 to like $6,000 worth of Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Okay, now there was a actual instance where actual Mac software loaded on a BitTorrent server had ransomware that actually worked injected inside of it, okay? And it was Transmission, which confuses me, but okay, because as a Linux guy, that's what comes installed whenever I install a GNOME-based desktop, is Transmission. But apparently there's a Mac version of Transmission, and they put the ransomware inside here. Now, as a Linux weenie, I'm extremely vexed over this announcement. Part of me just cackles hysterically at all those Mac people that says for all those years, we don't get infected, we don't get infected, we don't get infected, we do security right, we don't get infected, we do security right, blah, 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 blah. But a large part of me worries horribly, because having it a real threat, which is now only a matter of time on Mac, once it becomes a real threat on Mac, that means it is one giant step closer to being real on Linux desktops as well. Now, with the convergence, man, I hate using words like that, with the convergence of all the technologies that we're seeing basically go into the browser, whether it's Word document editing, spreadsheet editing, picture sharing, game playing, now even complete podcasting studios are also right in the browser. With everything going inside the browser, to me, that means now there's just a single vector that bad guys have to infiltrate and own. Because with the truth be told, if I install me, let's say an undereducated user, if I install my browser, and if it can get into my browser, even if all it does is continuously mess up my browser, that's going to be the lion's share of my time on my computer. Even if it's just a DNS thing, changing advertisements or something to that effect, or if it's just, you know, let's say sending my banking information to somebody else, that's dangerous enough. And if we get it, and we're going to get it on Mac here apparently very soon, and once we do, the clock is literally ticking. How much longer until we start to see active, downloadable, transmutable infections on a Linux desktop. Now, they're not going to be as successful as other operating systems because I might be running GNOME, Cody might be running KDE, Martin might be running XFCE. Hell, Martin might be running free BSD as the kernel. You might be running, you know, a older kernel. I might be running a newer Linux kernel. So to write one piece of malware that's going to affect all Unix-style systems is ridiculously unlikely. But if Ubuntu keeps being the prominent one, what if they just focus it towards that one distribution? They could definitely see some success. So this kind of news really does make me a little bit uncomfortable for the long-term health of operating systems.
Well, and forgive me if this is also in the further down on the list of topics to talk about today, but it's definitely a cause for concern. I mean, look at what happened with the injection onto the ISO of a Linux Mint.
Yeah, well,
you know, recently.
Okay, you have to always go with probability, and probability tells me one guy in Ireland with a very small peering team underneath him cannot provide long-term continuous security, period. To me, that was another nail in the coffin of why I will never suggest Linux Mint ever again for anybody to use in any capacity whatsoever. The reason to use Ubuntu is you have a legitimate company with legitimate long-term company goals who cannot afford for the same type of thing to happen to them. I don't want to install something that people are basically in love with to the point to where they will make excuses for them to have severe security lapses and to have extremely bad things happen to them. Because now if you talk to any Linux Mint user, they'll say, oh, well, that's all fixed now. Well, that's all fixed now. Well, that's all fixed now. No, no, you're avoiding the actual cause of the initial problem. The initial problem is you have a very small team, very, very small team, trying to act like a major world distributor of software, and they're not. So I basically never want to utter those two words again on any show, because anytime I mention them, I think I'm giving them more credibility, and I'm done. I'm done with them.
Wow, it's, it almost felt like I peeled off the scab there.
Something like that.
Okay.
I say we leave this episode a little bit shorter than longer, Cody.
Certainly.
Just so we can get it done out of the way. Because to be honest, I got to buy my tickets to go to Northwest Linux Fest.
Yes, preparation indeed.
Yeah, there's a couple other things that I just got to take care of this evening.
Sure. Okay. So you want to call that the last topic then?
Sure, sure.
Okay, cool. Well, listen, guys, we've made some alterations. Well, I shouldn't say we. I should say me, because Nora is available pretty much any time of the week to record, aside from when he's recording other shows. I've made some adjustments to my schedule to get these shows out more frequently, mainly because I really like talking, not only with Dor, but I like talking with you guys online. I like being on the show. I like being informed more. And every time I'm on G+ and I'm reading these stories, I'm kind of archiving them in my head. I just think, I wish I'd get on there and talk about these. So we're not going anywhere. I don't want to say that we're back, because I don't feel like we really left anywhere this place. We just had a little hiccup, some schedule stuff, but that's all resolved. So rest assured, we're going full steam ahead into the night. And if you want to talk about full steam in the night, you really should come to Express Northwest if you can, because there will be some stuff happening in the night. But Dor, as always, thank you very much for being on the show again, for having me on the show. This show is a big part of me being interested in tech, and I really do like it.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. All right. And where can we find you online, as always?
I'm done also doing what every other podcast does, which is spend 5 minutes pitching stuff. Google me. And if you want to support us, podcast.com/Amazon is the easiest way.
Yep. That's all you got to do. And if you want to hit me up, you can find me at Twitter and just search for @CodyCooper or on G+. That's usually the best way to get a hold of me. Email, as always, as with everybody, we kind of get lost in it sometimes. It's too much. But yeah, hit me up on social media. I'll definitely hit you back as soon as I can. Well, hey, everybody, thank you very much for downloading the show and for listening and for all the great correspondence. And please do not forget that Linux is not just for the rest of us, it is for all of us. Good night.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.